Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Certainly, I want to thank everybody for being here this morning. For the tribute is really great to be able to share this time with you and to work with you to bring the kingdom of God to all kinds of people all over the place. And as I think you think, as you think about our church and what we're doing, the reach of this church, not only in our community, not only in your lives, but the ability to touch people's lives around the globe is just phenomenal. There aren't many churches that are able to do that have that kind of passion. But it's great to be able to be in a community that has that kind of vision. So I'm so glad to be able to share this time with you. When Jesus was with his disciples, as he was getting ready to leave, there was a lot of anxiety. You can imagine the tension in Jerusalem was just palpable. And the disciples were frightened, as you can imagine, because the forces that were aligned against them were just overwhelming. And Jesus said something very powerful to them that we often have heard or we remember. He said, "Do not be afraid. I will send to you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that will be with you to guide you and to teach you all of these things." We often remember that passage, particularly around Pentecost, when we think about the coming of the Holy Spirit into our lives. But we often think about it in terms of very individualistic. That is, that we think about the Holy Spirit coming into my life to change my behavior and my actions. But what if what Jesus is partly talking about is I'm also going to send you people that understand, that have lived through, saints, if you will, that will, by the power of the Spirit working in them, help to minister to you. And so this morning, I want to think about our journey of faith, our lessons of faith, in terms of those people in your life that have touched your life in a very profound way. Maybe it was a parent or a teacher, a Sunday school person, somebody in your life journey that really spoke to you and really put you on a different path. One of the things that we as pastors sometimes, we have a great privilege is we are part of people's deep lives, especially at times of funerals, when people really become, families become vulnerable, and we really get to learn who that individual was. So often we see people in just a snippet of time. But during a funeral, you get to see their whole life journey, the things that they struggled with, the things that made them who they were. And we get to see some real saints, people that really transformed lives. And at the end of every funeral, what I want to try and bring out of a funeral service is that this person was a blessing in some way or another. Their lives shaped us, they guided us, they taught us something. And I think when we look back across our lives at all of the saints that we have encountered, we will find that there are people that have touched your lives and shaped who you are. And maybe we weren't even aware of it. Maybe by just being in their presence that they shaped who we are. Well, by learning from their lesson, maybe there's something that we can gain about our own journey. And we need to ask from time to time, who are we being a saint to? What kind of people are learning from us? And more importantly, what are they learning from us? I look at the little kids that gather up here, and you know, they're always so full of energy, and they come and they want to be a part of a church community, and we want to give them a place where they belong that isn't overbearing in competition or by what they can achieve, but by who they are, by the wonders of what God is doing in their midst. But that means that for you and me, we have to become saints for them. We have to model what Christ is doing in the world by our experiences. We have to begin to model that. So we want to talk this morning, what does it mean for us to be saints? What does it mean when Christ calls to the church? When he writes to the church in Corinth? Corinth, if you remember, Corinth was a church that was in chaos. He had to write and really try and bring them back in line. But at the very beginning, he refers to them as the saints who are called in Christ. This morning, you are saints. You are saints by virtue of being part of the community of faith. God is working in your life. But what does that mean for us? This morning, we're going to turn to the Word of God, and we're going to see that saints have a particular path that we are called to follow, that there are certain things about our life journey that God is calling us to do. Let's open up the Word of God and let it shape who we are and what we will become. Would you join with me as we center our lives on the Word of God? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe he has a purpose for my life. Let me set this passage up for you a little bit. This is in chapter 12 of Hebrews. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, Paul lays out the great patriarchs of the past, the great historical panorama of faith, beginning from Abraham to Moses to David. He even includes people like Jacob and Esau, all of the great patriarchs that were pursuing faith. And he lays out how all of these great patriarchs were pursuing their life journey of faith. Even though that they were often flawed and they had some stumbles in their life, they pursued a life of faith. Now, he kind of comes and he kind of culminates all of that with this passage in chapter 12. He says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father God, your word speaks true and it speaks powerfully to our lives. Father, we are transforming our own journey. And we pray, O God, that in the fullness of time, we will also enter into the blessed rest of all your saints. And we will find the fulfillment of our greatest dream. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to think this morning about an individual, somebody in your life that for you represents the highest of ideals, the highest of what you would like your life to be like. Somebody that you can say, they have figured it out. They got it right. Not perfectly, no, not you know, the Mother Teresa that beyond your expectation, but somebody that lived joyfully, lived on purpose, and lived with significance. Somebody that perhaps could forgive easily, that learned from their own failures, that was able to enter people's lives and offer them grace, that was able to be a mentor, that seemed that like wherever they went, they were able to lift people up and elevate their vision of what life was about. Somebody that touched your life and said, that's what it's all about. We call those people, we call them saints, people that have grown in grace and have now reached the fullness of what God is calling us to be. They're on that journey of faith. We talk about saints because saints are those special individuals that live practical examples of Christ's way of living. They prove that Christ's way works. Saints show us that it is not only possible for a human to be more alive, for you to become more than you are now, but it is also a richer and it's a better way of living. How often have you ever been to a funeral service where somebody has said, this person lived so joyfully that every moment was a gift, was just glorious? They've learned the lessons. We live in a world that is kind of, we're always torn, right? Because what is it? We admire saints. We admire who they are. We remember who saints are. We remember how they touch people's lives in an individual way, but we really desire fame. We really desire things that make us happy, but we often will settle for comfort. We remember those kind of people, but we pursue something else. And what God is calling us to do is say, what is more important to you? What you leave behind, or the lives that will constantly be shaped by your presence? Saints are those wonderful people that give us a direction. They mentor us on behalf of God for who we're supposed to become. Therefore, we set our sights on the example of Christ. Saints are admired, but we desire fame and we settle for comfort. When you think about your own faith journey, you think about your own engagement with who God is. Which of those three categories would you say define your path in life or the path of people that you know? For example, let's say you got up on a crazy Sunday morning like today. It was dark, it was maybe a little drizzly, and it was a little cold outside. And you had to make a choice. You had to decide, who am I, what drives my behaviors? And maybe you said, well, it's kind of cold and rainy. It is so wonderful to be warm and snuggled in this bed. I'm going to opt for comfort this morning. Or perhaps you said, there's something that God is working in my life. There are people that I love to be around, people I love to touch their lives. I love to be fed by them. I love to be a part of a community that's doing something powerful with their lives that you then pursue, or you are compelled by a love for presence, for people, for spirit. Trust me, I know that on a day like today, there are people that are already going to the office, trying to get another leg up on the competition, trying to get one more step ahead. They desire or they admire great people, Mother Teresa, a Gandhi, a Nelson Mandela. They admire people like that, but we desire fame and fortune. What characterizes our lives today? And when you think of the saints of your life, what is it that they do? Saints are a couple of things that the Bible tells us specifically about saints. Think about your own journey. First of all, saints are a work in progress. When Paul is writing to the saints, he is saying, so that you continue on this journey of faith, so that the saints that he is working with will reach full perfection. In this life, we will constantly be learning. Saints learn a couple of things. And if you think about the great people of our time, you will find a couple of characteristics. One, they realize that there is always more to learn. We're constant learners. Every event is an opportunity to grow deeper, to understand the ebbs and flows of life, to understand that God is speaking in a powerful way. The Bible says, teach me your ways, O God. Show me the paths of your life. So often, we just kind of go with what's the ebb and flow of our culture. What's going on in your world? What are those events that are shaping your life? What are those things that we can learn about the way life works? And there's also so much more to do. God is constantly shaping, and there's more to learn and to do, to practice, to learn who God is, but then to put it into practice, to find out who we are and what God is doing. As saints, do you realize that you are constantly learning and constantly doing, constantly working in the Spirit of God as He works through you? And finally, that there's more to give. One of the things that always identifies a real saint is they are natural givers, not just financially, but also with their joy and their encouragement and their inspiration. Some of the greatest saints that I have had the privilege of knowing are people that when you enter into their presence, you just feel their joy. There's just something about them. When you're with them, they're constantly kind of upbeat and kind of joyful. They can even be in some of the most difficult financial, personal straits that you can imagine, and yet they're optimistic. They trust that God is doing something in their life. Is that what you would like to give to your family, to your neighbors? You know, that we are constantly a community that is upbeat, that is joyful about what is about to come. One of the things I love to say about this church is that the best is yet to be. We're constantly moving in the direction of God's perfection. I know that we love to talk about the centennial, and that was great because that propels us, that's the fuel that propels us into a bold future. Are you excited about what will happen in the next couple of years in our community? Some of it's going to be really difficult, but those difficult decisions are going to elevate us to a higher level. There's always more to learn. There's always more to do. And there's always more to give. A saint never retires. A saint never gives up. In Romans chapter 1, Paul is talking to a church that he's never been to. And he says, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. What is required to be a saint? Two things. Loved by God. Do you feel loved by God today? And called to be saints. A calling means to be called out of, to be drawn away from, to recognize that God has a mission for you. Whenever you entered the military, and I'm not saying that you ever entered the military, if you entered the military, there was always a commissioning. There was always a time when you had to raise your hand and make a commissioning or a pledge to the United States and to the Constitution. Whenever you become a Christian, you make a pledge. I am being called not to privilege, but to service. He has something that he wants to do. Now, maybe God needs to train you to become a better teacher, a better singer, a better leader, whatever it is. But saints are called to ministry. The Bible is really clear. We are all ministers. You have all become priests. Whatever your task is, God has given you a commission to go out and serve, to go out and do whatever it is He has equipped you to do. And that equipping will be your passion, it will be a need that will be met, and you will be gifted to do it. All of those things have already been given to you. So he talks to the saints and he said, God has already called you, so you are already saints in my eyes. In 1 Corinthians, I told you earlier, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth that is in chaos. People have written to him about the problems that are going on. People are getting drunk. Part of the church is sleeping with the other half. It's going nuts. And he says, you are the saints who are sanctified in Christ. You are saints. You're a little off the deep end, but I'm going to draw you back because you are precious to God. Never lose that specialness, that idea that God has called you to be a saint. The second thing is that saints are a blessing that lingers. They're a blessing that lingers. Have you ever known somebody that, and this is particular for the ladies, have you ever known somebody that always wears the same perfume? And that whenever you went into a room, you knew that they had been there? There's a lady that I used to know up in Pleasance County, always wore the same perfume. Whenever I smell it, I always think of her. It's always the same idea going through your mind. Saint Anthony was one of the early church fathers, and he would often enter a time of solitude, and people would seek him out for his wisdom. And he said, whenever I'm in my solitude, I often encounter demons that come to me dressed like angels. He said, but on the other hand, I often find demons that are actually angels in disguise. Or I find angels that are demons in disguise. And they asked him, they said, well, how can you tell the difference? He said, I will always know the difference by how I feel once they've left. By how their energy lingers with me. How it shapes me following their presence. And I think about our own journey. And I think about how when we engage with one another, even by virtue of being here, by rubbing shoulders with other saints, by being with the fellowship, by entering into a sense of community with one another, that blessing will linger in your life and it will carry you through the rest of the week. You will gain upon yourself the aroma of God's presence in your life. Saints have the power to do that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that's on the screen, for we, all of us, the church, the community, we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Think about that for a moment. Think about your office where you work. Think about the people that you meet, the people that you go to school with, or the people that you rub elbows with. What does it mean for you to be the aroma of Christ? What does it mean for you to wherever you go, your blessing will linger? What happens if you go into a room and you just, it's been a tough day, and you just explode at people? You just ream them out. You just give them what for. You tell them what's going on. Are you the aroma of Christ in that environment? What does it mean for the saints, for us as a community, to go out into the world and to be an aroma, the presence of God? People see who Christ is through us. We are the saints. We are the comforter that Christ has sent. We are the teacher of how this Christian life is lived out, how it really makes a difference in the lives of others. We are a blessing that lingers. And finally, we are an example worth following. Saints are always those people that you look at and say, I wish my life was like that. I wish that I had more of those characteristics. There's something about that person that I wish I had more of in my life. And that's okay. That's not envious. That's just saying that there's an opportunity for us to begin to shape our lives. What is it about them that makes them who they are? What is that God doing in their lives that we need to have more of? There's an old story about three angels that came to earth because they had heard about this great saint, that wherever he went, he spread his joy and his goodness wherever he went. And they looked at him and they were so taken by his humility and his grace that they came to him and they said, we want to give you a great miracle from heaven. They said, we want to give you the ability that wherever you go and whatever you touch, it will be healed and it will be cleansed. And he said, no. He said, I can't accept that. He said, because only God can give life and give healing. That is God's and God's alone. And they said, well, then what we will do is we will make it that whatever you say, whatever you tell other people, it will change their inner heart and they will come to a knowledge of Christ and come to know him. And he said, no. He said, only the Holy Spirit can change a person's heart. I cannot do that. I don't have the ability. And so finally they came and they said, well, we want to make it so that you have such a wonderful aura around you. You just draw all people to yourself and they will follow your example. And he said, no. He said, because if I draw all people to me, then they will be estranged from God. And it is God that I want to point them to. And they said, well, then tell us, what great gift can we give you? And this saint finally came and he said, I only ask for the gift of grace, that I can do good things and never know it. And so they blessed him. And wherever his shadow would fall, blessings upon blessings would fall to those that were gathered around him, though he would never know it. Think about your own journey of life, your own desire, that wherever you go, whatever event you are a part of, people want to be a part of that because they see the joy in you. They see the mercy and the forgiveness and the humility in how we interact with other people. By your example, they will come to know who Christ is. Paul says to his friends in Corinth, he says, follow my example as I follow Christ. Learn from me. Follow my example. Are people following your example? Do you want people to follow your example? Here's the final testimony. At the end of every funeral, when we really sum up what did this person's life mean, I want you to think about it in these terms. Think about your own life journey. No one like her has ever been before, and no one like her will ever be again. Her life is a masterpiece, shaped, scraped, and perfected throughout these many years by trials and testings unknown to us. dry your tears, and then celebrate her life by doing what she did during her earthly days. Then give thanks to God and be at peace. Think about your own journey of faith. There'll come a time when we say, what was that? What gift did God give us through this person? Your life is not a summation of what you have, what you possess, or what you've accomplished, but by how you've been a blessing to others. To go out by your example, by your presence, and by your peace, and just share that joyfully. To be a community on a day like today, to surround one another with love and prayer and say, this is a place where the true nature of who you are can flourish. When you leave this sanctuary, the aroma and the presence of God will flow with you, that wherever you go, the Spirit of the Comforter will work through you. This is All Saints Day. This is your day. This is your day for what God is doing, surrounded by the saints, surrounded by the community, surrounded by all those that have come to this sanctuary to praise God, to worship, to all those that have come here to mourn the loss of a loved one, to all those that have come here to be married and to be wed and to start a new life together. All of those saints are gathered with us this day, and they're making that journey with us, and they're imploring you from their side of the veil, from their side of perspective, of saying, don't lose heart, don't give up, don't grow weary, because God is working a miracle through you. Continue to share that joyfully and that abundantly. And your day will come when God will say, welcome. I've been waiting for so long. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks this day that we can continue to struggle on the journey towards perfection, to receive from the blessings of the saints that we have loved and who have loved us and taught us, who have given us an example to follow, who have mentored and shared with us the best that life has to offer. Help us, O God, to embrace their gifts, to receive their life, and to model our lives after their example as it is shared in Christ. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.